Welcome to Career Tools. This is Wendy.
And this is Amanda.
Today's cast, Time Management and the High I, Part 1 of 2.
The questions that this cast answers are, what are High I's weaknesses when it comes to time management? What can a High I do to mitigate their weaknesses? And how can High I's improve their time management skills?
If you want answers to these questions or more, keep listening.
We're coming to LA, September 10th and 11th for an Effective Manager and Effective Communicator Conference. We'd love to see our California people, or maybe you're international and you might be able to fly into LAX more easily than some of our other locations. We love hosting people who are international to our LAX events. Come see us, whether you're in California or anywhere else in the world. September 10th and 11th, you can sign up at manager-tools.com/training.
Career Tools has been giving guidance about specific skills we use in the workplace and how our behavioral tendencies affect them and how we can save ourselves, from our weaknesses for years. And finally, we've got around to time management. Well, as you know by now, we can't actually manage time, but we can use time efficiently, and all of us have ways in which we don't use time efficiently. We have weaknesses which mean that we waste time in one way or another. So in this guidance, we're going to talk about some common high I behaviors and how they affect the way high I's use time and how we can solve for those weaknesses.
Today we're going to cover stay focused, don't overcommit, stay organized, then prioritize, and lastly, go slow to go fast. So before we dig into high I's and time management, let's talk just a little bit about DISC itself. If you're not familiar with a DISC assessment, it is a psychometric analysis of behavioral tendencies. Essentially, it measures the behaviors that you engage in when you're not thinking about it, all of our fallback behaviors. Now, just know that any behavior is available to you if you practice it first, which we'll get more into some of the behaviors that we might want to practice for time management. But just know these are the tendencies that we have because we're not putting really forth the effort. So when talking about DISC, we do have lots of podcasts that cover it in more detail, but this is going to be a quick overview. Imagine a circle that is cut into four quadrants. That gives us the four quadrants, a high D, a high I, a high S, and a high C. Now, if you are picturing this circle, it is also split into hemispheres. So we have a top hemisphere, which include our high D's and our high I's, which are our assertive people, and the bottom hemisphere, which is our high C's and high S's, and those are our reserved folks. Then you split the circle again, and it gives us task versus people. So if you go to the left side, those are our high D's and our high C's, and those are our task-focused people. And then if you go to the right side, that is our people-focused people, which are our high I's and high S's. So all of these behaviors really do live in hemispheres. So when we're talking about the assertive hemisphere, our high D's and our high I's tend to talk loud, they talk fast, they make a lot of eye contact. When they walk into a room, they are going to put out all the information. They have no problem talking to everybody, throwing out ideas, essentially taking over a room. On the reverse side of that, we have our reserved people, our high C's and our high S's. When they walk into the room, they talk quieter, they talk slower. They're not going to talk to everybody all at once. They're going to talk to people one at a time and really gather information before they put things out into the universe. So they tend to be our quieter folks. They don't move around as much and they have smaller hand gestures. So that's assertive versus reserved. And let's talk about our people versus our task focused. So our people focused folks are our high I's and our high S's. They are all about relationships, talking to people, getting out there. Now our high I's do this in a very fun way, because you can see it on their faces. They have all the facial expressions. They talk to everybody. They go off on tangents. The best day ever is the more people. Now, our high S's, they're a little bit more reserved when it comes to people. They like to have you talk to them. They are oftentimes our organizational sounding boards. They really like to chat with you about you, but they're all about the people. So that's our high I's and our high S's. And then again, on the left side of the circle, we have our task-focused people. Those are our high D's and our high C's. Now, what that looks like is they're all about getting the work done. They speak in terms of deadlines, datas, facts. They are more into the details. They want to make sure everything gets done. Now it looks a little different. Our high D's get things done very quickly. They want to make demands, get out there as long as the work gets done. It doesn't really matter how it does it. They just do it. And our high C's are a lot more quieter about getting that work done. They have our processes, our procedures. They are really much into the details. They want to make sure that everything that they put out there is accurate. So these are going to be the different hemispheres that we talk about as we go through. So when we say assertive, we're talking about the loud, fast, putting information out there, taking the room by storm. And the difference is our high D's, when they take the room by storm, it's because they want to get the work done. They will tell you what to do because that is correct and we can get to the work faster. And when our high I's take the room by storm, it's because they want you to want them to take over and they want to have fun doing it. So we'll talk about that. And when we're talking about our reserved folks, again, when they go into a room, it's to collect data, to gain information. They are much quieter about it. Our high S's are more people focused. They want to know how all of these changes are impacting our folks. And our high C's are all about the procedure. They want to make sure that what is being said is being done correctly. So we'll see all of these different behavioral tendencies play out as we talk about it. And today our focus is going to be on our high I's. And I will defend any of our DISC profiles because they all have value. Every single profile has a lot of strengths, but we all have some weaknesses too, and some of it is time management. So when we're talking about high I's, we're talking about the people. I like to say that they're the funnest people that we know because they love to hang out. They love good group work. They talk loud. They talk fast. They want everybody involved, and they are excited doing it. Now, that does lead to some weaknesses, and we're going to get into that, especially with time management. But just know that as we go forth, we might poke a little fun, but it's because we value everybody.
And high I's are really pleased that we're giving them a podcast to themselves.
Yes. They might not listen to it in full at first, but that's fine. They'll circle back. It's great. And we're going to have a lot of fun today with this. So I hope that gives you a little insight onto DISC as we go forth on high I's and time management.
Awesome. Great job of explaining it. Thank you. Okay, so we're going to start with, I think, pretty much high I's kryptonite, which is stay focused. Because high I's moving fast, like Amanda said, they like new things, new shiny things, new people, new ideas, new items, anything that's new. And that means that the thing from yesterday that they were supposed to be finishing is really boring. And so their minds are always on the latest new thing. And so they wander off. So like, these show notes are really boring. We should actually just make them multicolored and then they'd be sort of more interesting.
I think more exclamation points for sure.
Yeah. So they entirely forget what they're working on and go off on an entirely new project. And they forget that they haven't finished the old one. I think pretty much the person who created the phrase, it's not finished until the paperwork is done, was managing a high I, because a high I's idea of hell is having to do a project and then having to do paperwork to finish it off.
Yeah, because you know what paperwork doesn't include?
Fun.
People.
Yes. Yes.
Paperwork is typically done by yourself. Now, maybe a group of high I's will get together and do paperwork all at the same time. Then it will be more fun.
Mm-hmm.
They figure out a way. So how do we counteract that and stay focused? Now, it seems counterintuitive, so stick with me. One way a high I can stay more focused is to work with others. It would seem that this could lead to more unproductive conversations and distractions, but collaborating with someone that can provide the discipline the high I needs can be very helpful. So you have to go into who you're going to work with knowing if that's their strength or weaknesses to keep you as a high I focused, right? So a high D, they do not like to go off on tangents. You can have one of them. They will keep you focused. They, in fact, don't love tangents. That wastes a whole lot of time. So high Ds are great in a group think action because they're no nonsense. And a high C will stay focused on the details because our high I's, they do things at 30,000 feet in the air. And it's the big picture, right? Details, schmetails, high I's like to say. So a high C will make sure that someone focuses on the details. It might be them clapping, saying, hey, let's focus on these, but the high C can help you stay focused on the details. And now know that if a high I is truly committed to staying on track and they are very self-aware, two high I's can definitely work together and keep accountability for each other. So it's not you have to rely on other profiles. You can rely on other high I's, but you have to be aware of what you're getting into with the intention to stay focused. So an uncommitted or unaware high I could easily steamroll over just everybody in the room because it's so much fun just having people there. So again, two high I's can absolutely do this. You just have to be aware of your tendencies and know how you have to work together to be more effective. So use other folks to help you stay focused. And this collaborative approach also helps use the high I's social nature and providing that external structure that they need in order to focus.
Another weakness, well, it's a strength, I guess, in some respects. It's just a weakness when it comes to time management, which is focusing on the future. So a high I's imagination and the creativity and the new ideas is great when you're trying to come up with new ideas for new products or a new way of doing things. But the focus on the future when it comes to projects or the tasks that you're supposed to be doing is not good because high I's almost believe that the task has been done if they can imagine that it's done. It's like they imagined themselves doing it. And they get bored by the messy middle of the projects. And they're a little bit like high D's who have this fuzzy picture of the middle of projects. They understand that they're at the beginning, they can see A and B, but they can't see all of the letters in between. They just see Z. And high I's are a little bit the same. They just fly over and then get to Z. And they're like, well, I've done it. But they haven't done any of the steps in the middle. And so if you find yourself doing this as a high I, you have to break down big projects into smaller sub-projects with frequent targets. And the secret of making this feel better is to make sure you celebrate every little target. Like, mm-hmm. You can have a prize for checking something off. Like, if you divide a 12-week project into 12 one-week projects, you get to celebrate 12 times. That's way better. If you are programming and you have, like, the checkout process from start to finish to do, then break it down into validate cart, calculate total, apply discounts, and so on. And then celebrate when you've done each one of those instead of the whole checkout thing, which will take you 3 weeks. And if the problem doesn't break down very easily, then you can do time blocks instead. So you can make the target an hour on this problem or half a day on working on this thing, and then celebrate when you've done that piece. The other thing about this method is it reminds you where the finish line is. If you haven't got to the bit where you can celebrate, then you haven't got to the target. And high I's tendency is to wander off before they get to the finish line. So if you haven't got to celebrate, you haven't got to the finish line, you can't wander off yet.
I like that. Celebrate the finish line. Even if there's 12 of them, best day ever.
Exactly.
Now, another way to focus through those boring tasks is to adopt the strategy that high C's use, which is processes, procedures, checklists, and automation tools. These methods allow you to spend the minimum amount of time and brain power on routine tasks and more time on the more interesting tasks or working with the people that matter to you. So the faster you get through something, you can work with more people. And a fun way to make these processes, procedures, dare I say checklists, more fun is colored pens.
Yes.
Colored sticky notes, right? You can personalize it. I know those conditional formatting sheets that help me manage my tasks, all different, like very bright colors, because it makes me happy to look at. So just because it seems like it has to be black and white, high C's are definitely good at coming up with these, and high I's, they make them cool.
Yes, that's so true.
Adopt that, make it fun, something that you want to actually look at every day to keep yourself on target. It doesn't have to be boring.
Did you know that we're now able to deliver our group training sessions virtually in almost any language? The groups we've trained so far have found it to be a great experience, and they just love the result. So no matter where your team is or what language they speak, and even if they speak multiple different languages, Manage Your Tools now has a group training option available for you. If you'd like to learn more, contact Maggie by emailing her at customerservice@manager-tools.com.
Next, don't overcommit. So all of the styles are liable to overcommit. They just all do it for a different reason. And the high eyes mantra is, I want to do that. They overcommit because they want to do all of the new things. The high D thinks they can do all of the things, so they just keep saying yes because they just think that time is elastic and they could just keep stuffing more tasks into the same amount of time. But the high I wants variety and they're impulsive, and so they keep saying yes, yes, new thing, I want the new thing. And they keep saying yes until they realize that there's no more time, there's no more space to stuff any more tasks into. And they also have serious fear of missing out. So they'll have 1,000 tasks to do and then say yes to going out. So they don't seem to realize they can't do 3 things at once. High eyes also have back-to-back meetings and they're supposed to be in 3 meetings at once. They're those people. And they don't seem to realize there's only one of them. But that's okay because they'll have Zoom on their computer and somebody on the phone at the same time.
Yeah, their multitasking is phenomenal when it comes to people, right? They'll say yes to a lot of tasks, but a lot of times it's like, who else is working on that? Oh, I love working with them. Yeah, let's do that. I want to be in that meeting because it's fun to work with people on different things, right? Especially when you're not worried about the details. But that leads to a lot of overcommitment. And when you know you're not going to be able to do a task or fulfill a request, just say no quickly before you second guess yourself or the other person says more things to convince you to do it. And they might not actually be trying to convince you, but as a high I, when you start hearing all those cool things or all those different people that are involved, you're like, yes, oh, I can fit this in. So if you know you can't do it, just say no out of the gate before you get more information to convince yourself to take on a task that you know you can't accomplish, right? So say no quickly so you don't feel like you have to overcommit. Because once you say no, you can just move on.
And on the other hand, if you don't know that you're going to say no for certain, don't make an immediate decision and instead buy yourself some time. Just because the person who's asking you would like an immediate decision, that doesn't mean they want or need an immediate decision. Ask if you can get back to them when you've checked your other commitments, and then think about whether or not this commitment, this opportunity, will compromise your ability to do the things that you're already doing. And remember, the S's and C's, they want more time to make decisions. They make decisions really slowly. So at least half the people that you're talking to expect you to ask for time to make a decision. So it's not weird to them when you say, I need some time to decide.
Yeah, and really high D's are just going to tell you what to do. So the folks that are asking you to make a decision, more times than not, don't expect one right away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you've got to think about, if you say yes to this, are you going to disappoint the person who you already said yes to? Like, tasks are not just tasks. Tasks have people behind them. So think about the person behind the task and then decide.
And we know a high eyes desire to have frequent interactions with other people also is what really drives them to commit to the tasks. We've already kind of talked about that, especially when they really don't have time to, because they don't want to, dare I say, disappoint them up front. But if you fail to do it, you're going to disappoint them on the back end. but it's really about the people that drive High Eyes to say yes. And really, honestly, High Eyes thrive on being busy and fitting more people in the day. So to them, it's like the more people, more chocolate cake. And can you ever really have too much chocolate cake? No. The more they can fit in, the better, because more things, more people. And I bet they're probably serving some kind of food.
Right? Yes.
They just love a good party.
Yeah.
Their charisma and optimism mean that they convince others of their ability to handle all these new tasks, even when they're not really sure if they can handle it successfully or if they're going to handle it successfully. So anytime you find yourself trying to convince someone that you can do this task that they've asked you, you probably should be saying no. If you have to convince them that you can handle it, that you have the time, they probably have some insight into your schedule and knowing how you overcommit. So if you have to convince someone to let you do it, it's probably a no.
Yes. And there are a whole bunch of analytical tools that you can use to analyze your time and commitments to give you a more realistic idea of the time you have available. We have a podcast about the Drucker time analysis, but there are also capacity calculators where you put in all of the tasks that you have and how long they're going to take. And then it works out how many hours that is and how many hours you have left in 40 hours of a week, however many you work. The other method of prioritizing tasks and seeing how many high priority tasks is the Eisenhower matrix, which ranks, you have a 2x2 matrix, and you look at tasks on whether or not they're urgent and whether or not they're important. So you end up with tasks that are urgent and important, which you should do right now. Important but not urgent, which is the ones that you really should do, because those are the ones that prevent fires breaking out in the future. The ones that are not urgent and not important, which are the ones you can just not do. They're the boring ones. And the ones that are urgent but not important. The ones that are urgent but not important are the ones that people bring to you and pretend are on fire, but they're really not. They're just important to somebody else. And you want to get rid of as many of those as you can, and start not doing less of that work, because it's not work that's useful, and doing more of the not urgent but important work. And these exercises sound really tedious, and they are if you're doing your whole to-do list for the first time and you've got to put it in the Eisenhower matrix, it's going to take ages, and it is tedious to do it the first time. But as you go on, you're only putting like the new task onto that and like comparing it with all of the others. So it's only one task at a time. It's not so tedious. And it does give you a really unemotional answer to, can I do this? So it takes some of the
fear of missing out or people side of things
exactly.
out of it.
Yeah, it's not such, you're not rejecting that person. You're just saying, look, rationally, I can't do a good job on that for you.
Yeah, so use these systems to avoid overcommitment. High Eyes, with their lack of focus on tasks and details, will mean that they'll entirely forget that they have committed and will only remember when they're reminded. So they tend to overcommit so much and they don't know all the details. So they might not even realize what they've committed to and then forget and then have to be reminded. And it becomes kind of a whole cycle of conversations about being reminded. They don't really have a good grasp on the time or the long-term planning involved in some of these tasks. So they're likely to be late and then again, have to be reminded multiple times. Sometimes they never get that task to be finished. So personal and team systems are very useful in that they provide the assistance in making sure you do what you've promised to do. So relying on some other people to constantly remind you, instead use a system to help remind you and do the work up front. So then you don't really have to worry about all those details going forward, because something is going to help you along the way.
Right. Those team project tracker things that you have to do the work and then fill the tracker in is just, why do I have to do that? I already did the work. Now I have to go fill that in. But if you try and take it from the perspective of, that's the thing that stops people coming and moaning at me that I haven't done the work, it makes life better in the end. Another way you can unemotionally stop yourself overcommitting is having personal rules, such as only 3 big projects at a time, or no fun till the expenses are done. Somebody told me that if you make your personal rules rhyme, they're much more effective. It was coincidence when I wrote that, that no fun till the expenses are done rhymes, but actually I think that might be true.
And it's more fun.
It is.
Remember.
Yeah. So those kind of personal rules can help with many of the items that we've told you in this guidance and the ones we're going to tell you. And they might seem restrictive, which is true. They are restrictive, but they're less restrictive than the ones that the organization will put on you if you don't do the things that they want you to do. If you think of a performance improvement plan that HR puts on you when you're failing in your job, that's going to be way more restrictive than the fun rule that you put on yourself, that this tracker always has to be updated on Mondays before 10, or always has to be updated before you can go get a coffee, or, you know, whatever personal rule that you put in place so that it makes you do that thing that you don't want to do.
Yeah, you can call them your daily affirmations.
Exactly.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week to finish up this topic.